H-1B visa lottery results are in. Were you among the few selected? If you weren't successful, lucky for you, our friends at Mob Squad have a solution. If you work in tech with an expiring U.S. work visa, Mob Squad can help you stay in North America. In just 4 weeks, they can get a work permit for you and your family and relocate you to Canada, where you'll continue to support your company. Get in touch at mobsquad.io/blindambition. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Blind Ambition with Jack Kelly. It's your friend, Rick from Blind. And today I'm going to introduce you to my friend, Ginny Carlier, who's the America's Vice Chair of Talent at EY. She leads efforts to create exceptional and transformative experiences for more than 95,000 people in 33 countries in the Americas. During her tenure with EY, Ginny has worked around the world in several key roles, building and leading high-performing EY teams. Throughout her various roles, Ginny's commitment to building an EY in which everyone belongs and thrives has remained constant. Thanks for coming on the show, Ginny.
Thank you for having me.
And Ginny, the first thing I'm really curious about is I've noticed people at EY spend like almost their whole career. And what I see as an executive recruiter, that's usually not the case. You know, people are jumping every year, every 2 years, every 3 years. What's going on there that you felt, hey, I could stay here for 30 years and keep growing my career?
Yeah, what's the secret sauce, right? It's interesting that that's the question you started off with, because I recently have been asked that question quite a bit. Because I think when people look at someone's bios or they ask, you know, what's been, you know, your career, and then they hear that you've been with the same organization for 30 plus years, people do take a step back. And I look at the trends that are happening today. If you look at a recent report that came out, it said the people entering the workforce today will have 12 different jobs in their career. So if you map that out, that's about an average of 3 years per job. And one of the reasons we're going to see as a trend is because they're saying people are looking for what they call the career playground. That for decades, we had professionals so focused on the career ladder, but really this generation is interested in building skills, having experiences, hone those skills, have those great experiences, and moving on to another part of the playground. And when I think about that analogy, Jack and Rick, I actually think that was me. What has kept people at EY, including myself, for so long? I entered EY with not the idea that I'm going to be talking about being at EY 30 years from that point. I entered EY thinking, what are the opportunities? What are the experiences? How can I be a sponge and just soak up everything that I can learn? And let's see where it takes me. And EY was already this playground that was built. I just had to really let people know that I was interested in opportunities and experiences and raised my hand and, you know, went on from one thing to the next. Honestly, that's what kept me here, because I could see my personal growth and I could also feel the contributions I was making by having all those different experiences and opportunities over my career path.
So was it a combination of both raising your hand, but then also the company itself just having so many different things going on that you can pick and choose, hey, can I do this? Or they would come to you and say, hey, you did a great job doing such and such. Let's move you over here.
It's interesting because I do have the opportunity to interact with a lot of EY people. They ask me about my career and what are the different things I've done at EY and how did I get to where I am today. When I share my experiences and my career path, they say, well, how can I do that? I want to do that. And so I always tell people, you have to embrace the opportunity. Don't immediately say no to something just because it may not sound like something that you want to do. Pause and think about, you know, what are the different things I can gain from that experience? Who will I be working with? Who are the clients I'll be touching? What is the new skill that I'll be learning? And then think about the benefits from that opportunity before you immediately say no, because on the surface, it may not sound like something that interests you. I think the other thing that's really important right now is everybody wants, they want it and they want it now. And so I always advise people, be patient. The best way to get more opportunities coming your way is to prove yourself in the current role that you're in. like I said, it may not be something that you want to do long term, but if you're proving yourself and you're delivering on the current role, more opportunities are going to come to you. People are going to take notice and ask you to participate in other client activities, other service lines. My case, I was asked to go overseas as a result of some of the work that I did. I would also then advise everyone, have an adventurous mindset. I was very, very fortunate. Probably the best advice I ever got when I was younger, when I was learning about having the importance of having a growth mindset, a mentor of mine, and still to this day, he uses this terminology. He's like, Jenny, what's better than growth mindset? And one day I said, adventurous, be adventurous. He's like, that's right. You need to have an adventurous mindset. You need to go into something and think, okay, there's going to be some unknown here and that's okay. I want to take that risk. And then I want to understand the unknown and I want to take that and I want to take it forward. And I think if you could go into everything like with those kind of three things, don't say no immediately, really assess the opportunity that's being presented, be patient. And be willing to have an adventurous mindset. Those three things are a great formula, you know, to gain, you know, the next steps in your career and to be have access to more exciting opportunities and experiences.
Yeah. So go ahead, Rick.
I appreciate that, like, kind of first principles foundation in terms of approaching your career. Find that folks that are especially ambitious, they are often planners, right? And so they look at other folks and they want to figure out the pattern and see what replicate or how they follow in the footsteps. And I think it's quite refreshing that even at your level, you admit it was not a perfect and clear progression. It was a little bit of a jungle gym. As you were reflecting on that opportunity to go overseas, can you bring us into that moment? Was it scary? Was it kind of a shock in terms of, gosh, how am I really going to connect this in terms of where I want to go with my career?
That opportunity was really a result of some other things that happened. Very early in my career, I was based in Cleveland, Ohio. It was a very big office for EY. That's where Ernst & Ernst started. And I was asked to go to Silicon Valley to work on high-tech companies, work on IPOs. So I can admit this now, but I kind of knew what IPO stood for, but I certainly had no idea how to work, you know, what I needed to do for an IPO transaction. But I said, yes, I said, absolutely, I'll do it. And I literally read a book on the plane from Cleveland, Ohio to Silicon Valley on the journey of the IPO process. And I got off the plane and just started working. I immediately worked on four different IPOs. And why is that important? It was because I said yes to that experience. It was meant to be a 6-month secondment or rotation. After that 6 months, I decided to take a permanent role in Silicon Valley, which gave me more and more experience to multinational, well-recognized brand companies, and really got me on the path of more multinational type of travel, more having to work with multinational cross-border teams, really understanding the importance of diversity and culture and the diversity of thought. And so that really got me on that path of recognizing how important it is for me and where I wanted to take my career to have that international experience. By probably the time I decided to go overseas, I'd already really thought I wanted to take my career towards a path overseeing the talent organization. I saw that interconnection of talent and the business and how important it was. And I knew having an international experience was going to be key to my ability to be able to progress in the area of talent. And I knew I needed to really put myself out of my comfort zone. So I raised my hand to go to the Middle East, but I cemented myself in clients that I knew, high-tech clients. They needed people who knew U.S. Corporate environment, high-tech industry. And so I had a skill set that was going to be really important to that region. So that helped integrating myself into the Middle East. You know, I had to also be willing to open my mind and bring in that importance of diversity of thought It was a big leap of faith. I did kind of go back and forth for quite a while on whether or not I was going to say yes to the opportunity. And thank goodness, my best friend, who is at the firm and may partner with me, said to me, he's like, Jenny, what's the worst thing that can happen? Mm-hmm. So you go over, it doesn't work out, you come back. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the worst thing? And when he put it that way, and so simply put it that way, I was like, you're right. What is the worst thing that can happen? And ended up being some of the six best years for me.
Can I go back a little bit to when you were saying about being patient? We talked a little bit before we went live about how we both have a passion for people who are starting out their careers, because what I see at least is challenging what's going on in the economy. So it's tough for people doing it. But then when you do find a job, but then I'm not happy, I'm quiet quitting, or I'm loud quitting, or whatever, and I got to go on to the next one, and I got to do it. And if you don't promote me right away, you're an evil boss, and I hate you, and you're terrible. Have you seen that? Because it does, more. I see that more in social media, so I don't know how true it is in the real world or not, but it does seem that they lack the patience to put the time in to show wins and reasons to get promoted.
Do I think there's some reality to that? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's that much different than it was when I started. Instead of having a phone and sharing how I was feeling about something on social media, I was probably at a happy hour or a dinner with a group of my peers sharing how I was feeling. When I step back and really think about what is at the core of what why people might be feeling that way, I always anchor back to a lot of the work that we're doing around well-being. I say that because we're really trying to look at well-being holistically. I think a lot of times when you start talking about well-being, and I know I've had this conversation with many of my family members who aren't in corporate America, and they are saying, well, what do you do? Step challenges? What is that like about your benefits packages? And I'm like, no, it's so much more than that. It's physical, but it's also the emotional and mental health of our people. It's the financial and societal. So really looking at a person holistically. And I believe that a lot of times when people are feeling disconnected, disengaged from their organization, or it's more about their well-being and how they're feeling holistically than it is about a particular moment or experience. I think a lot of times too, it has to do with the leaders that they work with, but sometimes we got to step back and say, have we equipped our leaders so that they can help our people better? We've said to our leaders, we need to continue to focus on the well-being of our people. They're bought in. They're 100% bought in. It really started with empowering our leaders and not just our partners. If you think about it, leaders are defined in various different ways. Being willing to have those conversations, sitting down and having real conversations with the teams about what are your personal needs? Where are areas that you want to focus on in terms of development? It goes back to an importance of empathy. I mean, that is literally the key skill for leaders in the future. The ability to be able to listen, to make sure that their teams feel like they're heard. It's not to have all the answers. Leaders are not going to have all the answers, but the willingness to listen and to work with the team or the individual in terms of how they can get the help that they want or the support that they need to develop where they want to develop, that is going to be key.
I think mental health is such a big issue, such a challenge in this country. Let's be frank. You see people, whether it's on social media, whether in person, like everybody seems just so stressed out, so anxious, worried. I really give you kudos that you have that in place, because a lot of places don't. And then you see those are the people that go somewhere else, and then the same thing happens again. And by not having these things, it's just a downward cycle.
Recently, it just so happened, it all kind of coincided at the same time. I read a report, then I had to do some interesting ethical training. And then I was at a conference, and at all three of those data points, they said culture was the number one most important thing that a company could focus on right now and driving a culture of care. And the way they described it was, we need to stop. For so long, we talked about culture as something tangible. We always felt like we needed to be able to like show it to people or have some really fancy narrative about what our culture is. but it really boils down to how do you, employers, employees, or people feel when they show up every day? Do they feel cared for? You know, I can't underscore that enough. You know, if a company can do anything, it's really step back and, you know, look at their culture and what kind of culture they want to be known for. And would someone describe it as a culture of care? So I thought that was really interesting.
This episode of The Blind Ambition with Jack Kelly is brought to you by BetterHelp. For anyone out there who needs to hear this, you are more than your job. Don't get us wrong. Passion for your work is great, but it's so important to find joy, fulfillment, and validation in your life as a whole, not just at work. And therapy can help you get there. We all go through ups and downs in our career. Maybe you're thinking about switching career paths, or you're feeling super burned out in your job. You might be struggling with the uncertainty of our current economy, or trying to manage the anxiety that can come up during the job interview process. Whatever it is, you're not alone, and therapy can help. Therapy gives you a place to talk through what's going on at work in a safe and supportive environment, figure out what goals you have for your life and career, and build the confidence to go out and make them happen. Otherwise, it's easy to stick at the same old, even if it's not making you happy. If you're interested in giving therapy a try, BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a flexible week-to-week schedule so you can fit it into your day. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get started, then BetterHelp will match you with a licensed therapist based on your needs, preferences, and goals. Connect with your therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Elevate your work and your life with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/teamblind for 20% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/teamblind for 20% off your first month.
Jenny, I got to poke your brain a little bit to figure out how do you manage continually challenge yourself and make sure along your career path that you're still growing. Even you might be in the same role, or you might be at the same company or in the same function, that you're still developing and building these skills along the way, advance personally and professionally.
People need to embrace the skills that I don't think Gen AI, at least in my lifetime, will replace, which is curiosity, critical thinking, empathy, ability to lead diverse teams, ability to be able to work with clients and deal with what problems are they facing today? What did I wake up to today? And it's on my personal agenda that it's something I need to address. Being able to have those types of conversations and build those types of relationships are going to be needed by humans, right? And so we're going to have to start thinking about how do we train our people to those skills just become naturally as they grow as leaders. I do think if curiosity is going to be the game changer. And what I mean by that, I recently interviewed someone, and you know, we're kind of like everyone right now in today's economy, right? This is not the great resignation. This is the great stay, right? This is, people are not leaving because of the uncertainty in the labor market. So the hiring is certainly not at the pace it was 2 years ago. But I was interviewing someone recently, and I give them credit. They actually highlighted on their resume the gap in their employment. And because they highlighted it, obviously I asked about it. What this person told me is they said, yep, you know, I was part of a layoff. My organization I was with before laid off several thousand people. So I knew why it was done. I went to my supervisor and I said, where can I develop? You know, talk to me about if I was still employed here and we were having a performance review, like what would you tell me to focus on to develop? And to this person's credit, they spent that 6 months actually developing their skills in those areas. And I give that person a lot of credit for highlighting the gap in their resume and what they did during that time. Like it really highlighted to me, this is a person who wants to be a continuous learner, who's got the skill set of curiosity. We've all faced challenges in our careers. And I think it's like, what do you do with that challenge? How do you take that moment? It's okay to have a moment where you're sort of like upset, sad, but you know what? It's like, what do you do once you get past that emotion? I think it's going to be really what's telling. I tell our recruiters all the time, I said, we have got to shift our mindset and start recruiting for potential and not perfection of resume anymore. We really need to be looking for people who are willing to upskill themselves in those areas that are going to be important in the future that technology is not going to be able to do for us.
Now, what are some ways that, you know, a professional can kind of self-identify to demonstrate that willingness to grow and that potential that EY and your team is looking for?
It's a great question. I was actually just talking to a recruit last week. Their father called me and asked me if I would spend some time mentoring this person. And when we went through it, he was telling me, oh, I really like this about this class. And I really like this about this job. And I really like this experience. And, you know, I said to him, I said, if you step back on the surface, those are three completely different, but you say you like all of them. I think what you need to do is step back and say, what is it about all of those different experiences that I got energized by? And I like the word energized, because when I feel energized, I know that I'm bringing my best self. You know, he spent, to his credit, a very thoughtful time thinking about each of those experiences and what he said and what he liked about each one of those. And he found some really consistent themes. And he's like, you know, Jenny, I feel like I can tell my story now. I feel like I can show up and really articulate what I get energized by and what I want to make sure is kind of foundation to what I do as I continue to grow myself. Because then I'm not so fearful about trying new things. I don't fear failure because I have this foundation of things that I really, really enjoy and that get me excited. And, you know, I didn't actually tell him that last part. He came to his own conclusion on that. But I thought it was brilliant. He's right. I think if you can find those things that give you the energy, then the fear of failure, the fear of the unknown dissipates a bit. So you're grounded in what excites you, and then go try all the new stuff. So
that's definitely great.
In terms of what professionals can do in terms of standing out when they might be interested in applying to EY, do you have any advice there?
Yeah, I do actually. There's probably three areas I would advise people to focus on. The first thing is for people need to recognize that with the amount of applications that come in, we received over a million applications globally at EY last year. And so I tell recruits often, I'm not saying this, that we're disrespecting your resume, but on average, a recruiter spends about 30 seconds to maybe 90 seconds at most, like looking at resumes, especially when they just got a pile of resumes coming in. Put something on that resume that stands out that makes that recruiter pause and want to take a longer look. And so I advise people to think about personal purpose. The connection of a person's personal purpose to the values of an organization, that bond is so strong. When a person shows up to their new employer and they say, you know what, they have values that align to my personal purpose, people are already invested. I've advised people to not be afraid to do that. Put your personal purpose at the top of your resume. Let it stand out. Give the recruiter a reason to pause. I also tell people to think about your resume as that really exciting trailer to your personal movie, that if someone takes a quick look at your resume and they see something that pops, they're going to want to watch that movie. And hone your story. If your resume is going to be your trailer, when you actually have the opportunity to talk to the recruiter or to someone at the company that you're applying to, be able to hone your story, be able to, with enthusiasm, talk about what experiences you had and what you're going to bring to the table and why that's important. Making sure you're able to have a two-way conversation. I mean, I think about when I was interviewing, the interviewer always controlled the dialogue. It was always about me asking them questions. How good is their answer? Do I think they're going to be a good fit? Don't be afraid to turn the table. Start asking questions that are important to you. Start controlling the interview. And what I mean by that, be able to show up and say, you know, this person I was talking about that I spoke to last week, and I said, what was it about each of those experiences that you enjoy that you want to make sure you have in your career? You know, don't be afraid to turn the interview around and make sure that they're going to be able to provide to you as much as they want from you. So lastly, I think it goes back to the willingness to not say No, because I think a lot of times we think, ah, that's not the company I want to work for, or I'm not sure that position's right for me. Because you never know what you're going to get from that particular position. And so I just think being very open-minded to some of the potential opportunities that you're interviewing for.
So. That makes a lot of sense, because I think oftentimes a lot of professionals, they get into this trap of, well, it's my resume. I'm a software engineer, or I'm a PR guy. It seems pretty obvious in terms of what my story might be, right? Everyone knows what software engineers do, or what a public relations person does, but they don't go into that second level in terms of, well, if that's the case and I'm competing against hundreds, thousands of folks, how do I then stand out and get that call back? And they sit there wondering, oh gosh, you know, I never got called back, or I'm not getting anywhere with my resumes. And so having that personal feel, I think, is a good reminder.
Yeah. You know, on that point, right? I mean, one of my best interviews I ever had recent, it's been in the recent times, is a guy who was a bartender through college. And he put it at the top of his resume and he said, bartender, best experience for anyone who ever wants to be successful in client service, was literally what he put at the top of his resume. And you know what? I called that person back because I wanted to understand why he thought bartending. And this was a guy who honed his story. It was a compelling, interesting dialogue and discussion. And he was able to connect it to so many different skills and aspects of client service. And it was brilliant. That's what I mean. You know, don't be afraid.
Wait, did he get the job?
He got the job. He got the job and he's still with us. I was
really?
Yeah. Nice. He got the job and he's still with us. Great, great, great guy. If he had been embarrassed about it, or was worried that maybe he didn't have relevant accounting or tax experience and buried it, you know, it could have been a resume I looked at for 30 seconds and put it in the, you know, do not call back pile, right? But because he called it out, I was like, okay, I want to hear what this guy has to say. So it was great.
And it does make sense, because if you're a bartender, you have to know how to work with people. You have to deal with angry customers. You have to deal with everybody just wanting something right away.
Yeah, 100%. Then, you know, he did it at nights and went to school during the day and paid for himself to go through school, which is just added to that, right? Because that just shows like the dedication and hard work that someone's willing to put in. So
I appreciate that reminder, because I think it's very easy to get into the trap of trying to figure out how many tools or skills or certifications or even job titles that I can kind of cram onto my resume, almost trying to make it into a checklist or a game that I need to just go through the motions. But really, it's taking a step back and figuring out how I fit in to the bigger piece of the puzzle that is that company, or the greater story that I want to tell. So I really appreciate that reminder. Are there any other tips and tricks that you feel that most professionals just don't understand or might forget as they're trying to advance in their career?
You have to invest in yourself. You have to continue to learn. You have to show that you're willing to continue to learn. You know, professional services is clearly an apprenticeship model. And this is the first time in the apprenticeship model history where those at the bottom of the pyramid are really the ones educating everyone at the top of the pyramid. And they're coming into the workforce with just this, you know, natural curiosity. So again, it's just a constant reminder that I'm always learning. I'm 30 plus years into my career. I've literally reached the point that I always dreamed and aspired to reach, but I still have to learn. I'm, you know, it's not like you graduated from university, you got a degree and you're set. It's a continuous process throughout your career, but hopefully you're investing in learning that excites you, that's going to, you know, excel you, that's going to have you like perform better, that's going to give you, you know, a set personal satisfaction that takes you on to a 30 plus year career. So.
Well, that was great. I love it, Rick. That was awesome. We were able to go through your career, but sharing advice and guidance, how other people could succeed and move forward. And that's what we're trying to do with this podcast. Yeah. Really help people be their best and succeed and thrive. So I really appreciate you taking the time you know, to share your thoughts and ideas. I was taking notes myself.
I don't know, Jack. You're a wealth of knowledge. So.
You're really great. So thank you.
That's it for The Blind Ambition. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.